What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Five Out Podcast. We're here for basketball, and it is March 9th. Right now, as we're recording this, a Tuesday, and Brandon, when March comes, that means one thing and one thing only. It is starting to get mad in this place, because March Madness is only a week away. Games start to play next Tuesday. The first four will be playing next Tuesday, so looking forward to seeing some basketball being played at the college level. We're still going to hit NBA a little bit for the next coming weeks, but we are going to turn into almost a college basketball-only show, so be on the watch out in the future for the next couple weeks, because I promise you, and I said this earlier in the year, we're going to be giving you guys college basketball, and it is about that time. So today we're going to just be recapping the NBA All-Star Game, talking a little bit about a trade a buyout and then a signing, and then that's it with NBA, and then we're going to get right into some college hoops. But Brandon, you know, he is playing college basketball right now, so what are your top five songs you like to listen to before your games?
Right now I got Drake and Wants and Needs on that new Drake, mm-hmm. Most definitely. I got Statement by G Herbo.
Okay.
That's a good one. I got On Me by Lil Baby.
Okay.
Another one is I like Chopper City by Youngboy. And then my last one, I'm gonna go In a Minute by G Herbo.
Okay. You're gonna see a huge difference between myself and Brandon here. Obviously the songs change each year because of new songs that come out and whatnot. But so for me, I heard this song when I was a JV player my sophomore year, and it's called One Clap. It's a remix song about Randy Moss. And so it's more of a football thing for me than a basketball thing. But anytime I take a test, have something big coming up, you best believe One Clap. I don't know who the guy it's by. Just look up One Clap, Randy Moss on YouTube. Listen to the song, and it gets me going. It gets me going for sure. So go check that one out. Another one is Bohemian Rhapsody. If you heard the song, it's the best song in the entire world. So you need to go listen to it. And now it is a seven minute song. And I will say this, yeah, it's a long song, but it literally hits like four different genres in the song. So it is the best song ever made in the world. A thing about me, you know, before my games, I don't like to get super amped up. I'm a super chill guy, super calm guy. And so like the songs I listen to don't really get me, like, I'm not trying to run through a wall. Now football, a little bit different, maybe listen to some more of that in football, but I do like to listen to Power by Kanye West.
I like that song.
That's a good one for me. And then I like to listen to The Man by Alec, or I don't know.
I know that song. I'm the man. Yeah. I like that one.
Yeah. That one, you know, just think about it. Like, hey, like I'm the man or Superstar by Lupe Fiasco. Those two are kind of interchangeable for me.
I like kick push coach. Yeah. I don't know if nobody's gonna know that one.
No, I
like that one.
If you listen to the Splitting Uprights podcast, that's the song I put in.
Superstar or kick push?
Kick push. Hey, yeah. That song's just a vibe. That song is just a vibe at all times.
Oh, yeah, I love that song.
So it's a super chill, and that's a song you listen to on a long bus ride. So and the last one for me is No Hands by Waka Flocka. I mean, I first heard that song in seventh grade, and it's been with me ever since. So those are kind of my five songs. Again, you can kind of see the age difference between me and Brandon a little bit there. And I also don't play anymore, so I don't have to have a top five anymore. So, but yeah, I mean, it is definitely, I think that's something that athletes cherish, is the music before games. And it's becoming a huge thing now more than ever before. So, you know, and you see the athletes with their headphones on and shit like that. So, definitely a huge thing. Music has become a big thing for players and everything like that. So I had a trivia question for Brandon for NBA, and I completely forgot the stats and everything like that. So because we're going to be in honor of it being kind of a more college show today, I'm going to go with an NCAA March Madness trivia question. I'm going to have a couple for you, Brandon, because I think you'll be able to get a few of them. Okay, the first one is, which team has made the most official Final Four appearances in history?
History?
I'll give you four names if you'd like, but if you want to guess, you can just guess.
Like options? You gave me four options?
Yeah, I'll give you four options.
Yeah, I'll do options.
Okay, you've got UCLA, Kentucky, Duke, and North Carolina.
I want to go with UCLA because Kareem was like back in the day. Like,
and I don't know if this will change your answer, but the number of times they've gone is 18.
I'm going to go with UCLA.
Okay, you think it's UCLA? It's actually North Carolina.
Wow. Yeah, I guess Dean Smith was there for a long time. That's a good pick too.
Okay, so then which team has the most national championships in history of the NCAA tournament? All same four teams for the options.
UCLA.
Yeah, UCLA. Yeah, I knew the first one was going to throw you off because, like you said, they have won the most national championships. Just means they haven't been to the just means they haven't won the most national championships, even though they've been to a lot of them. I got one more for you here. What is the lowest seed to ever make the Final Four?
Wow.
It's a tough one.
I'm going to guess seed 12.
Hold on there. I lost my place. I am not 100% sure if 12 is the lowest because I think it is actually 11. 11.
Oh, so close.
Yes, you were very close.
What team was that? What team was that?
This little list I'm looking at says it's LSU and George Mason. George Mason did it in 2006, and LSU did it in 1986. Now, I don't know if this is an updated list because I think Loyola Chicago was also 11 seed, so they would be on that list as well. But yes, the 11 is the lowest to ever make it to the Final Four or to national championship. No, to the Final Four, So that does it with our trivia question. Now, the one I was going to have was about Blake Griffin because obviously, you know, if you don't live under a rock, he signed with the Brooklyn Nets. But my question was going to be, when's the last time Blake Griffin has dunked in an NBA game? What year?
Yeah, I heard he hasn't dunked this year.
He hasn't dunked.
I'm going to guess 2018.
Yeah, I was like, he hasn't dunked in a couple years, and I believe the last year he did have a dunk, it was like single digits. So obviously, his problems his injury problems have kind of followed him wherever he's gone. And I mean, obviously, the game has changed too. So,
and his mid range game has gotten a lot better too.
That is true.
Well, once you get that jump shot, like you kind of just really rely on that jump shot when you get it going, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, he got older and he lost a step. So obviously, he wasn't getting to the basket. It's kind of hard to get easy dunks when you don't have Chris Paul as your point guard. So. No.
Yeah, Chris Paul passed Magic Johnson in all-star assists. That's crazy.
Yeah. We'll get into that here in a second as well. Yeah, for sure. But first, the news about Blake Griffin. Does it do anything for the Nets this season? Does he make them even stronger contender than what they already were?
I think it'll help because I know him and DeAndre Jordan like being on the same team. I don't know if it'll be like a huge push, but I mean, you know, Blake's a good veteran, so – I think it'll help, you know. I don't even know who their four was before, so.
I think they were having Jeff Green at the four, honestly.
Jeff Green, okay.
Which, in my opinion, I think Blake will come off the bench.
Off the bench, yeah.
I mean, he'd be good for that second unit, leadership wise, and him, and then he would be the number one or number two on that roster or on that unit anyway. So, whereas if you play with the first group,
he won't be the option.
You ain't getting shit. So, but yeah, I mean, I think it is nice for him and DeAndre to be back together. They're basically calling it the reunion team now because you've got, you know, Harden and KD together as well as now DeAndre and Blake. So, I mean, it doesn't really push the needle for them to move on to be more contenders than what they already were. I think everyone is in agreement that they're probably going to come out of the East if they stay healthy. And all Blake Griffin does is add another name to their team. I think that's kind of the end-all be-all for them. So yeah, I mean, I don't really know what more to say about that. Well, I guess time will tell if Blake Griffin actually does something for the Nets, but if we're being honest, I really do think
I think it's still going to be the big three show. I mean,
oh, 100%. And it was really unfortunate that we didn't get to see that in the All-Star game, but you know, injuries are part of the game. And honestly, I don't think Kevin Durant really wanted to play in the game you know, use it as an excuse. But that's the Blake Griffin talk. Let's go ahead and get into this this All-Star day, I should say. Let's get into the three extracurricular activities, not the actual game itself. So the skills challenge, the three-point competition, as well as the slam dunk competition. And let's start off with the latter, the slam dunk competition. I will say one thing I did like was that it was at halftime. I did like how like all the players were out watching and everything like that. It hurt that they didn't have fans. Like 100% it affected the dunk contest. But my golly, that was the worst dunk contest I've ever seen in my life. It was the most boringest dunk contest. Now, obviously, they probably told them, hey, you can't really get a lot of props out because we have, you know, we have a game going on, so you can't have all these props out in the world. Can't bring out a plane or a car or anything like that, like we've seen in the past. But they were terrible. It was just bad. Brandon, what are your thoughts on the slam dunk contest?
I mean, to be honest, I kind of think, like, over the years, like, it's kind of hard to create new dunks.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, like, the game over the years, like, everybody's just gotten more creative and everybody's getting more athletic. So I think that's why it's also been a little bit kind of tough, you know, because, for instance, that Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon, like, they can do the same dunks. Like, mm-hmm. You know, so like they like if you literally could play horse with dunks, like they would be there all day.
Yeah.
I like why Simmons won. He had a cool dunk where he put the ball like super high, like mm-hmm. You know, he showed off his vert. I think that was a good dunk. I think that was cool. But I mean, it's hard to come up with three or four dunks, you know, that 50s, you know. So I think that's why over the years the dunk contest has just gotten a lot more, you know, more down.
Yeah, and I'll give a shout out to Luke Heaton on this because he tweeted about it. You know, we're starting to see more of the professional dunkers, you know, on Twitter and stuff that are, you know, do nothing but dunk on the side, and obviously NBA players do more than just dunk, and so we're starting to see more of these crazy dunks on Twitter.
We're like that's easy and. Yeah.
And then what they're doing in these games for these guys are obviously tough because they fail and everything like that. But at the end of the day, you know, it's changed. And I'm not saying they should just end the dunk contest. But honestly, if they want the dunk contest to be what it used to be, don't have NBA players do it anymore. Have these professional guys do it. I mean,
That's a good idea.
It gives them exposure, potentially gives them a chance at making it into the NBA or the G League or something. I mean, that's crazy. But I'm just saying, like, make it interesting again. It's not interesting. It's not – I mean, Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine were the last ones, but those guys were doing – and even if they weren't doing 100% new ideas, at least their copycats were good. Like, these guys' copycat dunks sucked. That's what I'm saying. It's like it was just boring to watch. Like, I would have rather watched a bad halftime performance by whoever would have done it this year than watch the dunk contest.
I mean, my favorite event is 3-point contest.
Well, and I'm gonna save that one for last because I think that one's becoming the new slam dunk contest, and everything. But let's move on to the skills contest. Again, it's becoming more and more of a snooze fest because you get guys like Luka, which I understand they don't care about this competition. But, like, at least go out and try. I love that Sabonis won, of course, being a Pacers guy. But he gave a shit. Like,
yeah, like, Luka was just like, yeah, whatever.
and what I've talked about this All-Star game, like, no one wanted to do it, really, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, no one really wanted to be there besides some of the young guys. Like, let the young guys play and do these things. And they've done it in the past. Like, I understand big-name guys are going to bring you the money. 100% of the time. I completely understand that. But they also don't give a fuck. That's why we've had to change the rules in the NBA All-Star game because they didn't care. And now they have a reason to play and they have time limits and stuff and scores limits and stuff like that. So they actually try. And the fourth quarter, even though it was a blowout game, was at least interesting.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So, you know, make these competitions with guys who actually care. Now, the dunk contest, like, those are no-name guys. And, like, yes, they – I think the dunk contest is a different thing because they get this, like, kind of – I feel like those guys were kind of like, oh, you know, I'm too cool for school. Like, they weren't there to prove anything. And I'm not – and, you know, hopefully I'm just glad Sabonis came out and kicked everyone's ass. Him and Nikola Jokic, or not Jokic, excuse me, Vucevic, came out and actually tried. And you could tell that they cared more than everyone else. So that's all I have to say about the skills challenge. Do you have anything, Brandon? You want to add?
I kind of feel like if it wasn't COVID, I kind of feel like more people would have tried. But, you know.
Yeah.
We're in that time right now where people are just kind of.
Well, and it doesn't help out either for those guys, too, that they have that. I was like, why are they wearing their all-star uniforms? But then I was like, oh, shit, they're about to play a game. It doesn't help that these guys are about to go play a game as well, that like, too. You know, in 10 hour. So that didn't help. Now, Sabonis didn't really play, so that's probably why he went out a little bit hard. But apparently he was the only one warming up before, too. Like,
before the skills
challenge.
Yeah.
I would just like a little bit more effort. And I think you just bring in some younger guys. Now, as you mentioned, the three-point competition has become your favorite. And that's because it's the best competition by far.
It's definitely the most competitive.
Yeah.
You can see them like really trying to go fast or, you know, just make them.
Yeah.
And I like how they added the Mountain Dew shots too.
I was just about to say that they added something that they didn't need to add, but it makes it a little bit more interesting. Gives them a little bit of extra time as well. They have a whole money rack now. Where in the past you should just have one money ball at each spot, now they have a whole rack.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously the game has changed to where the 3-point shot is so meaningful. You know, it helps out that's the competition, and it doesn't take much effort, I don't think, out of these guys. They're not trying to jump 11 feet in the air while throwing the ball between their legs and around their head and doing a 360 and dunking it. They're just standing in one spot shooting 5 balls through to the next.
Right.
So, and then, I mean, but you get guys like Steph Curry who do it, and my God.
Bro, he is ridiculous. He is ridiculous. Like, I am like so blessed to be in the same time period with Steph Curry. Seeing him shoot that basketball is just beautiful.
And if,
even in the game too, he was stroking.
Yeah. And if you've watched any 3-point competition, they talk about how different it is to shoot off a rack than catch and shoot.
Catch and shoot, yeah.
And I'll say this, there, like I can tell a difference now that I've watched it and I've heard that enough and I've seen it. With him and Clay, it does not matter where they what they shoot from, how they shoot, how they get the ball.
It's going in.
It's going in.
It's going in.
At this point, it's just going in. I mean, Steph missed the first two shots in his first round and then hit like 7 in a row, 8 in a row. And like,
you ever seen those quick scopes like back in the day, like bah. Mm-hmm. That's Steph right there, dude. Like he just don't miss.
Yeah, and I mean it's really an atrocity that Clay couldn't be there to compete with him, because that a couple years ago when we saw them both compete together, I mean, probably the best three-point competition that we've ever seen in our lives. Just because you have two, they probably wanted two now of the greatest shooters ever in NBA history.
For real.
And no, that's no disrespect to Reggie, to Ray.
Ray Young, yeah, for sure.
Just Clay and Steph are just that fucking good.
And no, it's automatic.
And it's crazy to think, too, because Dame Lillard's competed in a three-point competition, too, and he's considered one of the best three-point shooters in our game right now. You know, just in today's NBA, not in history. But right. he doesn't do the same as Clay and Steph.
Yeah.
So... But, I mean, honestly, I think they need to move the 3-point competition to the headliner on Saturday nights in the future, because it's better than the slam dunk contest. Slam dunk contest is a snooze fest. And, I mean, again, fans definitely help because I understand that. But, like, and I get that they probably had a little less time than they normally do when it comes to, like, actually doing the dunks, you know, on that. But please don't give us that boo-boo fest no more. I mean, people on Twitter were doing the whole sleeping memes. Like, everyone was posting sleeping memes. Like, they'd rather be asleep. And, I mean, when you're at a dunk contest, I don't know who said this, but someone dunks the ball. And Zach LaVine, NBA players, like, normally they, like, freak out. Like, oh, you know, they get up all crazy and stuff. They didn't move a muscle. I mean, they were
– Yeah, they were just chilling.
So, but that's it on that. Let's go into the All-Star game. Let's go ahead and talk about Steph, because I think he got dicked out of an MVP trophy because, I mean, Giannis is great and he played great, but the thing Steph was doing, especially in the first half. Second half, he kind of slowed down.
Slowed down a little bit. Yeah, first half, he was just going. But also, Giannis was, like, perfect in the field. I think that kind of gave him, like, the edge, you know, a little bit.
I think he scored, like, 10 points more than Steph.
But Giannis always goes hard. Like, Steph was just – I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, that's fine. But, like, Steph was just, you know, playing the playground, you know, just – pulling off from the logo, and he hit like three of them from out there.
Yeah, he hit a bunch, and him and Dame had a little shoot off at the end of the second half, I believe, where they were kind of going further back. But yeah. The three I want to talk about, and if you play 2K, you've shot with Steph, and you get a perfect release, he does that shit where he shoots it and he turns around. Like, that is the most disrespectful thing I've ever seen from a shooter. And he did that shit, like, and it's not even. He doesn't turn around like Swaggy P did it right a couple years ago.
Yeah,
he was looking at he had his head turned. This dude is fully turned around, looking at the fans, shaking as the ball is still going down.
Man, that's just confidence. Like, that's just hours in the gym. Like, you got to be like making like 1,000+ shots a day to have confidence like that. But the crazy thing is, like I'm in college, and and before, like, our off-season workouts, we would do 300 makes, and after like 5 days of that, my wrist would be hurting off 300 makes. And it's crazy that these guys are, you know, making 1,000 shots. You know, Tyrese Maxey's pre draft workout was like 1,000+ shots, you know, each day. You know, it's just crazy, like, to have people like that good at basketball. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Steph is dude's one of one.
So for me, like, I was playing basketball last Thursday, and I guard like the bigger guys, because, you know, I don't really move that well. I don't move that well anymore, and I play with a lot of guards, and they guard the guards. And this one kid, he was shooting, and I was like, you know how disrespectful it is for me, when someone shoots, and as they catch the ball and I see them about to shoot, I yell rebound and I turn around. Like, if I'm a shooter, I'm like, oh, man, like, that's disrespectful. And, like, it hurts my confidence because this guy doesn't think I can shoot the ball at all. But, like, imagine, like, you're the defender and the shooter just turns around on you. Like, it's amazing. It is amazing. And, like you mentioned it, I'm glad we're able to watch this, because it's literally history. And he's going to go down as the top
shooter,
four player in NBA history.
I think he's above Ray and Reggie for me already. Like,
I'm not even talking. He is the best shooter in NBA history already right now.
Yeah.
But I'm saying he's gonna
off
go
the
down
dribble and catch and shoot.
Yeah, 100%. But I'm saying he's gonna go down as the top three or four NBA player in history.
Oh,
in like, yeah,
and it's tough.
But I'm just saying, like, what he's done for the game as a whole, and then his statistics, his championships.
I mean, but he only got three, though.
He's still playing. He's only, like, 32 years old.
Hey, I think he'll get one more, but I think he's going to get past five. No way. Especially with Draymond and him right now without Klay.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it'll be tough to get his fourth one, especially the way the Lakers are and the way the Nets are. I'm just saying, like, I think it's just impact on the game. Like, we talk about impact of Jordan, Bird, all those guys, you know, Kobe and LeBron. Like, Curry's had the same exact impact as those guys. He is the player of the 2010s, in my opinion.
For sure.
I'll get heat for that. Bring the heat. I'm fine with that. You know, you can bring it. So, you know, he did great. I guess I got to give a shout out to LeBron James for being a good, you know, picker, I guess, because he's
3-0.
No, he's 4-0.
Oh, 4-0. Yeah.
Yeah, this game puts him at 4-0. I mean, he didn't even play. He played 13 minutes. I mean, he did tell us, though. He said, "I will be there physically, not mentally."
Mentally.
It's understandable for a 17-year-old, not 17-year-old, a 17-year-old, 17-time All-Star. Jeez. Yeah. So, you know, shout out to him at LS and whatever he said to this team and whatnot. I mean, they came out and they won all four quarters. I mean,
that program that they were playing for is very happy right now.
I mean, what they won, 4,500
a lot of money
dollars. Yeah.
They won a lot of money.
Yeah.
They won a lot of money.
So, yeah, shout out to them. I mean, and obviously it sucks for Team Durant because,
You Durant couldn't even play. Yeah,
you lost Durant. They technically put Anthony Davis on Team Durant because like the person who replaced him
was Tatum.
Was on Team Durant.
Was it Tatum?
I think it was Tatum. Well, I know. I don't know. Actually, I don't know who replaced Davis. But someone replaced Davis. I think it was. I don't know who it was. But whoever replaced Davis was put on Team Durant. So you get two lesser All Stars, I guess, on that team.
Yeah.
And then the news of Embiid getting out. You know, that did hurt Team LeBron, but all they did was lose Simmons, and you lose Embiid, who was a starter. Yeah, and not the best for Team Durant. And Kawhi didn't even give a fuck either. I literally, like, halfway through the game, I was like, damn, Kawhi's out there? What? So, but I mean, it just shows.
I didn't realize Kawhi was out there until the fourth quarter.
Honestly.
They started trying to make a run, and Kawhi was actually playing. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, looks like we're going to have a – Looks like we're actually going to try now, fourth quarter.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where I don't think he cared. He won the All-Star Game MVP last time. Think, too, in, like, the All-Star Game, like, if you catch the ball and you have some shots early on and you hit them, like, you're going to have a good game and people are going to want to feed you. If you don't, you just kind of disappear.
Another sleeper is if Team Durant would have won, I think Kyrie would have taken the MVP.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And Kyrie was playing defense, and he was knocking down shots. I was like, okay, Kyrie. I was like, I see you. Like, that's you know.
It was really good to see Beal out there because he's definitely a star in our league. I'm not going to give him superstar status because he hasn't made the playoffs just yet, like when he's been the guy. But he's got a sweet stroke, too. Sweet stroke. And he can score the ball any way he wants to. So,
anyway,
yeah. I mean, yeah, but Team Durant was kind of, you know –
They just had one of those nights where you just can't get things going.
And you got a starting five of LeBron, Giannis, Steph, Jokic, and Luka. Yeah, and they were the better team by far. But I mean that's kind of all I got from the All-Star game. I mean, it wasn't a really good game throughout. It wasn't very close. I will say, love seeing Zion out there though.
Oh, he kind of had jitters though. The first couple minutes, he did have jitters, but nobody was watching. I don't understand why he had jitters.
Well, and think about it too. His first All-Star game. You know, he was supposed to be a reserve, and he gets thrown into the starting lineup the day of because the news came. Well, I guess it's kind of the night before because Embiid stuff came out the night before. So I mean, he probably was like, "Oh shit!" Like, you know, this is the biggest stage, and I'm playing with the biggest guys. You know, all in one place. So.
Man, but Zion always been a big guy. I mean, even before he was at Duke, like dude had balls life slam. He had everything falling in. He ain't scared no media.
It's not about the media. It's just the fact of like being starstruck by the guys. I mean, he's obviously seen them. He's been in the league for a year. But I'm saying the All-Star game is definitely like a oh shit moment.
I'm really
in the NBA.
Yeah, you know? Most definitely. Yeah.
So, but hey, once he got calmed down. It was funny to hear like the guys commentating the game. And they were like, "You 20 years old? I'm throwing that bitch up there." I don't think he shot a normal shot. All he did was catch alley hoops.
Yeah, catch alley hoops. Yeah, but, I mean that's an All-Star game. We love to see that. So.
Yeah, and I mean I don't really have much more to talk about it. I love the format of the game. Honestly, you know, I just even though they don't play defense really at all, it's not the same. Like they're not just throwing the ball down the court and like. Right. Just trying to go lay it up and do the best dunk they can do and shoot the deepest three each time like they were a couple years ago. Like, they're at least still playing defense throughout the whole game for the most part because it does matter. You know, each quarter does matter and the score matters a little bit.
So. I like how Chris Paul only dunks in the All-Star game every year. He always gets one dunk every year.
Yeah. Oh, and you already said it, but, you know, congratulations to him for passing Magic as the all-time leader in assists in an All-Star game. You know, I don't know if people thought he was ever going to be an All-Star again after his time in Houston. But he became
an All-Star. Chris Paul is a sleeper, man. I love his game so much. Like, I don't know. He's just I'm a point guard, you know, so I guess that's just why. But he's a sleeper for sure.
Yeah, and he's fun to watch.
Did you see those Twitter memes what's his – The Utah Jazz point guard. He went to Iowa State. Conley? He's lefty. Mike Conley. Yeah, Mike Conley. See, I even know what college he went to, but like the memes were hilarious.
About what? I didn't see him.
it was his first All-Star, his first All-Star appearance. And, like, you know, like, before the first day of school, like, you sleep with the clothes, like, right next to you. Yeah, it was like Mike Conley right now. It was, like, the night before the game.
Hey, you know, Utah Jazz got slandered in the draft because Donovan Mitchell and Gobert went last, the last two picks. And then, but then they had, they ended up having three All-Stars total. So, you know, obviously they're doing something right there in Utah, but they're under the radar for sure. So, yeah, I mean, again, the All-Star game, it wasn't the most fun to watch, but I also think a lot of the guys did not want to be there. But they did give us a good performance. Shout out to Team LeBron for sure, because, I mean, they were dominant through the whole game. And obviously it helped a lot at the end of the second quarter where Dame and Steph went off on the three-point line. And then they, you know, they played really good in the fourth quarter as well when it mattered. So that's it for us here. When we're talking about NBA, we're going to take a quick ad timeout here from our sponsor, Anchor.fm. When we come back, we're going to be diving into our college basketball NCAA March Madness talk. We'll see you guys after the break. What's up, everyone, and welcome back. As I mentioned before earlier, we're going to be diving into NCAA March Madness brackets now. But before I can get into that, let's go. We're going to go ahead and give you guys some options, if you guys are listening to the podcast, of two different ways you guys can play and be in brackets this March Madness. The first way, there's a Sleeper app. And if you go to, if you download the Sleeper app, you can join a bracket. You guys get the opportunity of two brackets for $5. I don't know how the payout's going to be. I'm not running it. A friend of mine is running it. But if you go to this, if you download the Sleeper app and you join the bracket challenge, the bracket is called Shooters Who Shoot. Shooters Who Shoot is the bracket, like I mentioned, or the pool name. Like I said, $5 for two brackets for the chance to win X amount of dollars. And then we're going to be doing something with the Five Out podcast. We're going to be making a bracket challenge on the ESPN app. I don't have those official details yet as in what the name's going to be called and how to join and whatnot. We'll have those for next week. But if you want to go ahead and join that and go ahead and follow us on Twitter, and then tweet out a picture of you joining it and you following us on Twitter, we will run a whoever wins that is going to be able to win a free t-shirt for the Five Out podcast for the March Madness tournament challenge. Whoever wins the whole tournament challenge will get that free shirt. If we have a tie, of course, we'll give out multiple shirts. But we want to have your Twitter and be able to contact you. So that way, if you win, we can get your shirt size and we're not making smalls and you're an extra large or vice versa. We don't even be making a ton of shirts and they don't fit everyone. So we want to get your exact size and whatnot and then be able to make you those shirts. So those are our tournament challenges. I'll be tweeting those out for you guys. So if you want to look on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok to be able to access those a little bit easier than just having to listen to it and then go find it out, go check out those stuff or go check out those sites. Let's go ahead and get into this, Brandon. But before we talk about some things, we already have to congratulate some teams because they're already in the tournament. They've already punched their bid to the tournament by winning their brackets. The first one is the ASUN League or Conference. Liberty wins, and they didn't even win their finals. They just had to get to this championship game because the team they played against is ineligible for this year's tournament. So they already punched their ticket in to the tournament, even if they were to lose in championship game for whatever reason. Then the Big South, Winthrop wins and makes it to the tournament. They've been in the tournament in years past, so we'll see what they can do. In the Missouri Valley Conference, Loyola College, I can't say their name for some reason, has punched their ticket. Yeah. Loyola Chicago. I say college. I'm tripping.
They got a Dallas kid on there, true freshman, and same with Liberty too. Liberty had a true freshman from Frisco. So,
well, there you go. Hey, like we mentioned before, Dallas runs college basketball now apparently. But Missouri Valley, they goes to Chicago. Hopefully, they can make a run like they did a couple years ago. Ohio Valley, Morehead State has made it. A name that we probably haven't heard in a while. Kenneth Faried is from Morehead State. That's where he went to college. So. A little trivia there for you, I guess. The Southern Conference, UNC Greensboro has won that conference. They will be going into the tournament. And the last one, as of Tuesday, there's some games being played right now. But the Sun Belt champion, App State, has punched their way in. And a few games that are going on right now, the championship games, we've got the West Coast conference, which includes Gonzaga playing BYU. We've got the Summit League conference as well. They're going to punch their ticket tonight. Northeast Conference, Horizon League Conference, CAA Conference. And that's all, I believe, that can punch their ticket at least on Tuesday. Then there'll be some on the 13th and 14th. But the first thing we got to talk about, actually one of the guys that, one of the things we're going to be talking about today, Max Abe, how do you say his last name, Brandon?
Yeah, like Abrams or Abab. Okay.
I don't want to say it wrong. I feel bad if I say it wrong. But he's a Dallas guy. He went to Jesuit High School in Dallas. They're playing for their way to get into that in the March Madness tournament. Your thoughts on that, sir?
He's been doing. I've been seeing him on Instagram. Mm-hmm. He's been scoring that ball for Oral Roberts. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, he just needs to keep scoring that ball, and they're gonna keep winning. I mean, I played against them whenever he was at Jesuit in our district, and he can shoot. He's a really good shooter.
Yeah,
but we beat him the second time. So.
That's all that matters, right? But yeah. I mean, him and a guy named Jules Marble, I believe his last name is. Jules is in Michigan State, has the opportunity potentially to get in if they do well in the Big Ten tournament, which will probably be tough. But, you know, it'd be cool to see Max get in there. I believe he is the nation's leading scorer in points per games in the NCAA, which is pretty freaking cool. Obviously, though, he doesn't play for the, you know, biggest program. And he's
a sophomore.
Yeah, he is only a sophomore. He's only a year older than you. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy. He's a pretty good baller. I mean, I remember watching him and scouting him at Jesuit and then watching him in the state tournament when they went kind of deep. He is the real deal. And he just because he plays for a small school and he's a smaller guy, he's no joke. So – Be on the watch out for him. If he does make the tournament, I would love to see what Oral Roberts was able to do with Max as their leading scorer. Don't expect them to go far if they did make it, but hey, you just never know in March Madness. You never know these days. So yeah, shout out to him because he's obviously killing it. And then we're gonna go ahead and look at some of these top teams right now. Gonzaga plays in their tournament or their final tonight against BYU. Do you see them
I think they're going to do it.
You think they're going to go undefeated?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. At least that'd be so tough.
Hey, I mean.
Oh, another Dallas native, Drew Timmy.
Yeah, Drew Timmy. Yep. Again, another Dallas guy. Like, hey, well, every team we talk about apparently has a Dallas guy at this point.
Yeah.
Even if BYU
got Caleb Lohner.
Oh my. So, hey, at this point. I mean, I do think a lot of people transfer into Dallas and then they transfer out and they rep Dallas as their team or as their city.
Their city.
But yeah, I mean, I will say, you know, a lot of these teams do have some Dallas boys on them. You know, no big deal. We played against them, beat them a couple times here and there. You know what it is. but Gonzaga has a chance at perfection tonight. I do see them succeeding. I think right now, if you're a betting person, their last time I checked, they were 14 point favorites to win the game against BYU, and BYU is 20-5, and I think they're expected to make the tournament as like a top 8 seed. So BYU is no joke, and Gonzaga is favored by 14 points, so shows you just how good they are. And I think the last team that we saw do this was the Kentucky Wildcats with Carl Anthony Towns and Booker, and the only game they lost was in the national championship. You can only hope Gonzaga is able to do the perfect season for historic purposes. Even if you don't like Gonzaga, you know, just like me, I didn't like the Patriots when they were 16-0, but I would have loved to see them go undefeated just because I saw that in my lifetime. Right. So even if you don't like Gonzaga, what they're doing is pretty special, and hopefully they can continue this run of success and at least get to the national championship and have that option or have that ability to potentially go undefeated. So, but do you have them as your favorite right now? It's tough, right?
It's tough. Like, I don't know. I low-key haven't scouted it. I haven't even touched anything. I kind of, like, before I did my brackets, I kind of just scout and just, like, go look at YouTube and see kind of, not necessarily, like, I look at highlights and see who's going to do what. So we'll see.
Well, and it's tough, and we've talked about this before. It's tough for Gonzaga, for us to be invested in Gonzaga full season because you like them at first, and then they go to their conference play and you forget about them for 2-3 months, you know? just because they don't play that many good. And BYU is the best team, but then again, BYU is not that good of a team this year. They play in a weak conference, kind of helps them out. So, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people have Gonzaga as a favorite, especially with Baylor losing. But then again, Baylor plays in a very tough conference, and we'll talk about that here in a second. And the last team of note I have, because they are red freaking hot right now, is Illinois. They beat Michigan the other day, which is huge because obviously their conference tournament's coming up. Your thoughts on this Illinois team? Did they have a chance, I guess, to make a deep run in this March Madness?
That Big Ten conference is a mess. Same with Big 12. It is a madhouse. Every game is going to be a dog fight.
Yeah.
It's literally going to come down to who wants it more. So, like, the first round of both of those conference tournaments are going to be hard. Like, if you know you haven't even made a tournament, like, those games are going to be hard. Most definitely.
Yeah, no doubt. And, I mean,
also, like, I could see, so let's say, like, whoever comes out alive from those two tournaments, I kind of feel like they're going to be too tired to play in the tournament, like, in the actual tournament. Because, like, those games are going to be hard because everybody's trying to play to get in there. So.
Well, a team that kind of shot themselves in the foot, Ohio State. The reason why I say this, I'm looking at the Big Ten tournament right now. So their games start tomorrow, March 10th. Minnesota, Northwestern, Nebraska, Penn State all play. Teams that probably aren't going to be, you know, big-time team or make any noise or whatever like that. But Ohio State was a top four team in the Big Ten a couple of weeks ago. They've lost a couple big games down the road here. They're now a number five seed, which isn't bad, but they have to play an extra game because of that. So Illinois and Michigan only have to play two games before they get to the championship game. So that's only three games compared to what UConn did like 10 years ago now, when they had six games in 6 days. So, you know, Ohio State kind of shot themselves in the foot, have an extra game, four games to win the tournament. So yeah, a huge, huge deal. Kind of the same in the Big Ten or the Big 12, excuse me, because, you know, you have your like teams who, shouldn't be, you know, playing in these early games, like West Virginia has to play in the quarterfinal game because they don't, you know, play against, you know, they're not Baylor or Kansas, who are the top teams in the seat. So yeah, it's tough. You know, it sucks to be in those conferences, but I think we'll eventually see a winner come out of the Big 12 or the Big 10 this year. Sorry, Gonzaga. So it is what it is. But let's go ahead and look at some of these tournaments. Okay. Some of these conference tournaments now, and we're going to go ahead and kind of pick our winner. I'm not going to start in the Big 10 or the, Big 12, because those are the best ones, obviously. So we're going to start in the worst one. We're going to start in the Pac-12, okay? You might not know who the teams are, I guess, whatnot, or anything like that, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you kind of how the bracket is shaping up right now. The number one seed in the Pac-12 is Oregon. Number two is USC. Colorado's number three. UCLA, four. Oregon State, five. That's all I'm going to go State. As deep as I need to go. So
Arizona State in there too, right?
Who?
Arizona State.
Arizona State. They're number eight, but I'm not going to go deeper than five because I only see one or two teams winning the Pac-12. Who do you have winning this conference tournament and punching their ticket to the NCAA tournament?
I'm going to go with a Cinderella. I'm going to say Arizona State is going to come out with the Pac-12.
Why do you like Arizona State so much?
Their point guard Remy. Mm-hmm. He went to Sierra Canyon. He's been doing really good. They have Josh Christopher. They have Jalen House. I just think whenever it's going to be a tournament, like refuse to lose situation, I think they can, you know, kind of make that Cinderella story go.
Yeah, I mean, you've also played against you've also had teams play like in Oregon or potentially the top teams. Like Oregon's going to be in the tournament no matter what. USC is probably going to be in the tournament. Colorado is probably going to be in the tournament and probably UCLA. So like they don't have to win this to get in. Whereas like you mentioned a team who needs to win, perfect example. Your uncle, correct? When he was on Vanderbilt.
Oh, my cousin. Yeah.
Perfect example. Vanderbilt probably wasn't going to make the tournament that year. He had to win to get in and they won and got in.
They took down the Kentucky Cats.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis and the Cats.
So, again, perfect example of kind of what you have to do to kind of get in that situation. So, You know, shout out to them. Hopefully we do see Cinderella, because it'll be awesome. SEC, who is your favorite to come out of the SEC and win the championship?
All right, Alabama already gonna make it. Arkansas already gonna make it.
Mm-hmm. LSU is probably gonna make it.
LSU may, yeah. Actually, I'm gonna go with Kentucky on this one. Kentucky's going to. I think they're gonna win this tournament.
Interesting. I think this is one of the only tournaments that the top seeds need to win to get a higher seed. Like, I don't see the Pac-12 getting any higher than a 4 seed, maybe a 3 seed.
Just I really wanted to say A&M, but we've only won 2 conference games, and that's not very.
Let's just say this. There's 13 teams on this list, correct? A&M is number 13.
Yeah. A lot of names on.
But I do think the SEC, Bama or Arkansas need to win this tournament for them to be a 2 seed at the highest. You know, I think they're one of them is going to be a 3 seed for sure, but I think if they win the tournament, they could potentially get a 2 seed. I think would be huge, especially with Kentucky having a bad year. So I don't see this being kind of an upset. So I'm probably going to go. I think Arkansas is probably going to win it. I think they're just hot.
They're like on a huge win streak right now.
They just beat Bama, I think, like a week or two ago. So give me Arkansas to come out of the SEC and potentially steal a number 2 spot for those guys. So that's kind of those are those two. Let's go ahead and go to the ACC real fast. Again, a conference that usually has these big name guys, and they have these big name teams playing. This year, it's not that, you know. I mean, Virginia has stapled itself as one of the big ones, but Duke is a number 10 seed this year going into the conference tournament. North Carolina is a number 6 seed. Tough, but who do you have as your favorite coming out of the ACC to win the conference tournament?
I'm going to go North Carolina.
You're going to ride with North Carolina? What, you got
to
give me
I'm a huge Duke fan, and it hurts to say that, but like they have to win. Like Roy Williams, I know he's like going to go full out. Like we got to make a tournament, like for sure.
I mean, yeah, I can definitely see if anyone's gonna do it, it's gonna be like a North Carolina or Duke. I think Duke is out of it this year. Hopefully North Carolina can get in if they didn't. But I just don't think they did enough this year throughout the season, and the ACC was so weak this year. You know, the only automatic bids I see right now, if they didn't win the conference, Virginia and really Florida State. I mean, I think Clemson finds its way in as well, and Virginia Tech. Georgia Tech, to me, is iffy. So in my case, again, I think this is another one where those top teams need to win to get higher up. And I think Florida State is probably the best team in the ACC. You know, Virginia's
– Also, it says Georgia Tech's on a 6-game winning streak right now.
Yeah, Georgia Tech is on a 6-game winning streak, and I love teams that get hot. But I don't see them winning the ACC championship. I just think Florida State's too good, and I think if they have to play Virginia as well, Virginia plays good in games that aren't NCAA tournaments.
Yeah.
You know, I know they won it in 2019, but, you know, it's just one of those huge things that, hey, you know, you got to be on the lookout for. So let's go to the Big 12 championship now, looking at that. Who is your favorite to come out of the Big 12 and win just the conference championship? This is honestly probably the toughest one.
Yeah, this is hard. Yikes. It's either between the last three teams on this food chain are not going to. I don't think they can do it. But it comes down to like these 7 options, and it's just hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for real, for real. Well, all right, let's see. So whoever wins this conference, or whoever doesn't win this championship, who's going to make it? So Baylor will make it. Kansas will make it. I think Kansas will make it. You think Texas will sneak in there? Texas got to sneak in there.
Not even a sneak. They're almost an automatic. I think you've got Baylor, Kansas, Tech, Texas, West Virginia, Oklahoma, and then Oklahoma State's the only team in question. And it's because of I don't know about their sanctions.
Their sanctions, yeah.
If they're going to be able to play or not. But if you listen to last week's episode, NCAA, I don't care what you have to do, get Cade Cunningham in this damn tournament if you want to make a lot of money.
Yeah, for sure.
Because Oklahoma State has a chance to
And they gave him a freshman of the year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, he should be player of the year, honestly. but
Luke Garza was doing his thing. I like his game.
But I will say this, and I said it last week. Oklahoma State has the chance because of Cade Cunningham, not because of Oklahoma State, the Cowboys, but because of Cade Cunningham to win the national championship. So get him in the damn tournament.
I get this. The highest win streak in this conference right now is the highest is three. Because, everybody's been losing and then somebody, you know what I'm saying? So it's just tough because nobody's hot right now, you know? So we're just – I'm gonna go with Texas Tech winning the conference.
Interesting. I mean, based on my logic, I should say Oklahoma State wins the Big 12 championship because I think Cade Cunningham's that good. I think they will be in the final. I don't know how the bracket lines up. But I think they will be in the final. I think they'll be playing Kansas in the final. I think Kansas wins.
I was watching the Texas Tech Texas game, and, mm-hmm. and Texas was up at halftime, and I thought the game was over. Mm-hmm. And then Texas Tech came out of nowhere, and they ended up winning the game. So I think what they're going to do is they're just going to play how they played like that. In the second half, they were playing really good defense. So I think if they play like that, I think they can sneak their way into the tournament if they win the conference championship.
100% agree with that, but I think
Chris Beard,
yeah,
I feel like when the tournament comes, he kind of gets his. I kind of feel like he goes into another mode, you know, another gear.
Yeah, he's on that Roy Williams and you know Mike Krzyzewski or not Krzyzewski, Coach K shit right there. I don't know what I was trying to do, but I do have Kansas winning it this year over Oklahoma State simply because just like we were talking about good coaches, I mean. Tech has a good coach, but Kansas, Bill Self, is the king of the Big 12. And he didn't win the Big 12 regular season championship. That went to Baylor. So I think he's going to pay off and win it in the conference tournament. He always finds a way to get some kind of piece out of the Big 12 any year.
For sure.
So that's why I got Kansas taking it. And then going to the last of the Power 5, the Big 10 championship, which, I mean, I did say the Big 12 was probably the toughest. And I still do agree with that, but the Big 10 is just as tough to choose. So who's your favorite to come out of the Big 10?
Like to win the whole thing?
Yeah, to win the conference championship.
And there's a lot of teams in this damn conference.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go with Iowa.
Interesting.
I take that back. It says right now that Purdue is hot right now. They're on a 6-game winning streak right now. Mm-hmm. But I think Purdue. I don't think they get in like without like even if they don't win. So I think like you know with them being like in the fourth seed, you know I kind of feel like it kind of gives them an advantage. Like you know like we're right there. Like we can get in the tournament. So I'm gonna go with Purdue.
Yeah. Well, before I give you my winner, I need Indiana to do very well in this tournament. Right now, per the bracket people, whatever, I don't know how the hell they figured this shit out, but the bracket people, they have Indiana sitting in, it's either the first four out or we were just the first four in, now we're the first four out. So we have to beat the Rutgers or, you know, the Scarlet Knights, and then we have to beat Illinois. Yeah, that's going to be tough. So if we beat Illinois, I see there potentially being a shot we get in the Final Four, like be the first four in and maybe have to play in one of those first games on Tuesday or Wednesday.
But Illinois don't got to win to be in the tournament, right? So it just depends. Like
Illinois, if they lost in the Big Ten championship or the Big Ten tournament, they potentially still could be a number one seed. Like overall,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. So so who knows even if they're gonna be you know playing hard, you know what I'm saying? Like because they may want to rest their players, you know, like they're starters for the big one. So you know, so sometimes when you're a low seed, you got to look at them and be like, hey, we can get in that what is it 7 or 8 seed, right? That's normally what it is when you win
seven, eight, nine, or ten is usually kind of where they fill in the
championships.
Yeah. I mean, Indiana, if you want to see me wear my striped pants on the Twitters and stuff, you better hope Indiana gets in the damn championship. And for that case, you know, you got to hope that, the tournament's being played in Indiana. We needed the Indiana team in the tournament. Cause I think right now Butler's out of it. Notre Dame's out of it unless they win in the ACC. Like Indiana, and I mean, okay, Purdue will be in the tournament, but if you're from Indiana, you either love Purdue or you hate Purdue. And so in my case, Purdue's not an Indiana team, but they'll be in the tournament, unfortunately. But you need like one of the big, you know, you need one of the nice Indiana schools to be in the tournament. But I actually have Ohio State coming out of the Big Ten. I think they have a lot to prove. I know they haven't been playing very well right now, but I do think if they don't do well in the tournament, they can see themselves as a 5 seed. And everyone knows you don't want to be a 5 seed going into the week, you know, going into the round of 64. You want to be somewhere else. So 5 seeds always get booted in the tournament. So, and I do think they're a good basketball team. I just think they haven't played very well of late. But to talk about teams that get in automatically, Michigan's in. They'll be a 1 seed overall in one of the regions. Same with Illinois. If Iowa does well, they could potentially jump up to a 1 seed as well. Purdue will probably be a 2 seed if they win the tournament. Ohio State could be a 2 seed if they win the tournament. Wisconsin gets in, and they're always going to be a tough out. And potentially Rutgers could find their way in as well. I've seen Rutgers in a couple tournament brackets. So a lot of Big Ten teams as well to get into the tournament. So huge shout out to Big Ten. They had a great year this year, and they were fun to watch for sure. As we're recording this, we've had a couple teams actually punch their way in from the CAA bracket or conference. Drexel has punched their way in to make it to the championship. And it's the first time they've been in since 1996. So shout out to them. And then from the Horizon League, Cleveland State has made it to the NCAA tournament.
Do you know who they beat?
Which one?
Drexel.
Let me look that up real fast. I can look it up.
Yeah.
They beat Elon. Elon. I think that's how you say it. Hopefully it is. So they beat them to punch their way. And it kind of sucks for some of these lesser tournaments. Because, you know, in that one, James Madison was number one overall seed. Well, they lost in their first game, and it sucks because you can lose in the big champion. Yeah. You can lose in the Big Ten championship game and still find your way into the tournament.
If you're in the Colonial, you got to win the whole thing.
Yeah. Some other conferences of note, the American Conference, you know, with teams like Houston. Let's see, you've got Wichita State in there. I think they're the number one overall seed in the American Conference. So they're big. Houston's probably going to find their way in. Same with Memphis. SMU, Cincinnati. You know, you don't want to see Cincinnati in the tournament because they're always a tough out, especially if they're number 8 seed.
East Carolina, they beat Houston that one week.
Mm-hmm.
And they're at the end of the food chain, but you know.
Yeah, I don't see – they're the worst team in the American Conference. But, hey, you never know. These tournaments, my guy, these tournaments are crazy. They always spur for good competition. The only reason why I'm bringing up the Big East is because my Butler Bulldogs are in there, but they're the number 10 seed. You'll see teams like Villanova in the tournament, of course, as well as Creighton. Connecticut's going to make their way back into the tournament this year, I feel like. Unfortunately, you know, Xavier is not that hot this year. Marquette, Georgetown, St. John's and Seton Hall probably will find their way in the tournament. Again, teams you don't want to see is 8-9 seeds because those teams are just good. They're good at basketball. It just is what it is. I'll look at Conference USA real fast, even though I don't think it really matters.
There's two groups.
This is confusing. I just pulled up their tournament, their bracket, and this is very confusing. They have two. I don't know what the hell's going on. Oh, they have an East and a West. That's why. That makes more sense. Well, hopefully someone comes out of there. And I mean, good luck to the Conference USA. I just pulled them up because they've got some teams here in this area.
I'm gonna say Louisiana Tech because they have like 5 Dallas guys.
That's what I'm saying. They always pull from Dallas. So. But yeah, those are kind of the conferences of note that I think will make a big difference. I mean, you've got the MAC as well, but usually teams from the MAC don't really do anything in the turn. Oh, this is not the MAC, but it's okay. Well, but that's what we got for the conference tournaments. You know, when we record next Tuesday, we'll actually have the brackets out. We'll be able to kind of go over the brackets and see who we're actually going to win. We'll probably do a live bracket choosing on air. For you guys, and then hey, March Madness is here, boys. boys and girls. Okay, we're not sexist on this podcast.
Right.
But March Madness is here on Thursday. You best believe I'm going to have no life. It's spring break for the school I'm student teaching at. I'm going to be sitting at home all day on my TV behind here. I will have one game on my iPad. I'll have another game on. I'll have a game on my laptop and on my phone. Do not bother me. Do not reach out to me.
I got class. So, you know, back in high school, you know, we would be doing work and we'd have this game on, and then we'd have the iPad over there. You know, we'd watch all the games at the same time. And then, you know, those teachers that were like, I don't want any games, you know, fuck y'all. That was not cool. I can say that now since I'm not in high school.
Hey, I will say this. I know some statistic teachers in the past have done March Madnesses based off of whatchamacallit. Like statistically, you pick the winners and they'll watch the games because they can't, they did an assignment, so you're able to watch the games on the screen.
Right.
So yeah, I mean I'm glad we have spring break because I would be very upset. And I did see a stat. So some guy on TikTok has said he's gotten a couple brackets pretty well. Like he's been able to pick the final four, not the rest, the final four pretty well. And it's because if you look at the list of the top X amount of teams that play on neutral site games, because all these games are played at neutral sites. That's a huge deal. Teams that normally do well in the season at neutral site usually do well in the tournament. They end up in the final four. Now it's obviously not the top four teams every year, but he's gone back to 2017, I believe, so 2019, 2018, 2017. And at least three of the four teams have been in the top 10. At neutral site wins and losses, they've been in the top 10. Three of those teams have been in the final four. So if you're looking,
About like games that were like in Hawaii or the games that were in New York.
Exactly. Yeah. So games that because the tournament's played at neutral site. Now, obviously, this year's a little bit different because they will be played at the same gyms each time. But yeah, it'll for everyone, it'll be a neutral site game. You don't bring home fans. Right. You know, you're not playing in your backyard, but you probably later on you'll get a little bit more familiar with the gyms and stuff like that. But that's all we've got for today's episode. We are getting very amped up here, excited for the future. Remember, go ahead and follow us on Twitter so that way we can get in contact with you guys. If you guys want to be a part of the Five Out ESPN Bracket Challenge, we'll give you more information as that kind of comes out. So be on the lookout for that on the Twitters. We'll also be putting it on Instagram and TikTok as well. But that's going to do it for us here on the Five Out Podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in today. If you'd like to hear more of our episodes, we post them on every Thursday on Apple, Spotify, as well as YouTube. If you'd like to watch the actual episode, go check us out on those platforms. And while you're there, go ahead and subscribe to those sites. On YouTube, it'll be a little bit different. You'll be going to Sideline Sports, but on Apple and Spotify, it will be Five Out. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button. All it does is help us out in the long run, and it's 100% free on your end. All you do is click a button, and that's it. And then you listen to the episode every Thursday. That's all you got to do. But we really appreciate it if you guys could do that for us. We had a blast doing this episode today. But if you guys want to see more of our content that we post on Twitter, you guys can go to Twitter and look us up at 5_out. Check us out there at Twitter. We post some daily content, like some poll questions, as well as some of our fantasy recaps and other things on Twitter. And if you want to look us up at Sideline Sports on Instagram and TikTok, we post very similar content that you see on Twitter, but it'll be on Instagram as well and TikTok. But you also see our other podcasts that we're affiliated with, the Splitting Uprights podcast. It'll also be on Instagram and TikTok, their stuff as well. So if you want to be in the loop on everything, you can just follow us on Instagram and TikTok. But if you'd like to see separate things, then check us out on Twitter. But that's going to do it for us here. Thank you guys so much for tuning in today. We hope to see you guys next week.
Check this out. Yeah. Always mean what you say. Real nigga till I leave. Elevated, do this rapping shit with ease. I got a brick on my sleeve. You dissing me, please. Comparing me to different MCs. Stop it. I really am the shit, so I won't pop it. Before Twitter was a trending topic, I was on the block with 30 shots and Glocks. Had the spot hopping. Dummy. But they acting like they don't remember that. Been a leader with that heater. I got right up into that. You can't never take a killing back.
whole heart was in the streets. I had to leave and get my fucking feelings back. Same spot they shot my brother, next day I'm chilling at. I ain't lying, they was winning till we started spinning back. But anyway, said enough of that, let's talk about this paper. Let's talk about them jets, yeah, let's talk about Jamaica. Asked about me, I ain't never been a fraud. I went hard from the start, in my city I'm a god, motherfucker. If you know, you know, never been no phony though. Rollies for my brody though, barely know Joe Rodeo. Heard they looking for me, I'm like, oh, I'm on the way. Buying money, know I'm straight, I spent the 130K out the gate. They like, swerve, stay safe, I'm like, man, y'all late. Yelling, free me, I'm like, I've been in the crib all day. I'm in Cali thinking how I come from pissy hallways. Long as I never go back, I'm that nigga always. And you know that, been having these M's, but they taught me not to show that. Before that, like a throwback, soon as this shit go left, I'ma throw back. And I could've bought the Rolls last year, but instead I bought a faux flat. That's no bad. Pro Chicago, I'm pro rack. Motivation for the trenches, cause I'm pro black. Real no limits, so we don't play by the rules. How the fuck I catch a case, we bought a school. Don't be fooled, you niggas fools. On the gram reading comments, I'm like, ooh, cool. So they want me to lose. I can't break like I'm bulletproof. And I can't say what I won't say. All I'm gonna say is before fame, bitch, I've been the truth. And when you put it on my name, gotta send some proof. They like charging to the game. I got feelings too. Shit be difficult. Still visual. Me and JB just been talking about residual. Checking on my analytics, shit get digital. Yo, just step off my dick, it ain't consensual. G Herbo, 2-5 the album coming soon.